Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
It's Joe Beningo and Evan Roberts on The Fan.
Joe and Evan. Evan and Joe. On WFAN Sports Radio. If you want to be in the New York, no. Gotta go to Joe and
All right, 10:05 on The Fan, and a very good Thursday morning to you. The midday show, Joe Beningo, Evan Roberts. Evan, of course, on vacation. 877-337-6666 is the phone number here at 1 o'clock. Bart Scott, John Jastrzemski will come your way. Dolph Kramer, the return of Ernie Acosta. On the other side of the glass, we're live in living color from the Black Bear Studio. Delicious Black Bear deli meats and cheeses, you know where, only at ShopRite. First off, before we do anything else, let me say happy birthday to my partner, who I think is somewhere in Montauk right now. So, Ev, happy birthday. I want to say 36. I think 36 is the number, and Ernie says that is correct. A ancient 36 years old for Evan Roberts. And let me say this too, Ev, if you're listening, I'm sure you're not. Congratulations as well, and you know what I'm talking about. I'm not going to say what it is. Nevertheless, happy birthday to Evan. You know, I'm going to start with this. We're going to have a good show for you today. BT, Brandettini, is going to join us in the 12 o'clock hour. We'll have him in studio. We'll cover everything with him, from the Knicks to St. John's to the Yankees, the Mets, the Jets, the Giants, the whole deal with BT later on in the show. John Heyman as well. What, 11 o'clock for John Heyman? Something like that? 11?
10:40.
10:40 or early today for John Heyman. Of course, we'll talk baseball with him and maybe some other things, John being the multifaceted dude that he is. You know, I want to start with this today. Obviously, you know, right now, nothing really happening, as we know, to the All-Star break. There's one game, I think, in the major leagues tonight. What is it, the Astros and the Rangers? The Mets and the Yankees back tomorrow. The Mets in Miami to play the Marlins. The Yankees are home to the Blue Jays. So, still the All-Star break really still going on. But I woke up this morning. I put on my buddy, the great Harris Allen, who I listen to every morning, the 5 o'clock update, because I'm up at like 4:30 because I'm nuts. Anyway. So I listened to the 5 o'clock update, and Harris told me this morning of the passing of Jim Boughton. Now, I understand a lot of people maybe don't really know who Jim Boughton is, don't remember him, you're too young. Jim Boughton, who was an outstanding pitcher for the Yankees in those early 60 years, you know, that run the Yankees had from 60 to 64, five straight pennants, two championships, all of that. And Boughton had a couple of really great years. 1963, 21-7, he had an ERA under 3, helped the Yankees get to the World Series. They eventually got swept in that series by Sandy Koufax and the Dodgers. And in the following year, in 1964, he won 18 games that year for the Yankees as well, helped them get them to the World Series, actually won a couple games in a World Series against the Cardinals that year, even though the Yankees would lose a very tough seven-game series that year to St. Louis. And then it kind of all went downhill after that for Boughton. Did kind of resurface later on as a knuckleball pitcher. Remember, he pitched for the Seattle Pilots, the 1 year for Seattle and all of that. What was that, 69, I think it was. And then he resurfaced with Atlanta as a knuckleballer and all of that. But he's best remembered, and I'll never forget. I guess I was in high school, 1970, so I'm like my junior year in high school. And I remember one of the guys, you know, coming up to me, man, you got to read this book by Jim Boughton. I go, really? Yeah, you got to saw it. It's unbelievable. You know, so he hands me this book, Ball 4, of course, which now is really an iconic book, and maybe the greatest sports book of all time. To me, it's got to be in the conversation. There's no doubt about it. And I remember reading this book, reading it cover to cover. I probably read it in a very short period of time. Back then, it was easy to sit down, and I would read anything sports-wise. And I remember reading it, and it was fascinating to me because for the first time ever, as a 17, 16-year-old kid, whatever I was at that point, you know, because at that point, you know, all sports figures to me were above and beyond. You know, everybody was just like this, you know, great thing. And, you know, you almost didn't think of them as human beings. I mean, at that stage of my life as a young kid, I really didn't think of ball players really as even being human. I mean, I kind of looked at them, you know, larger than life. And this is in a period of my life when all my teams were winning championships. I mean, you know, that run with the Jets, Mets, and Knicks with three titles in 15 months, and that was like kind of in that, you know, kind of in the period of that. I think that book came out in the summer. I want to say the summer of 70. So, you know, right after the Knicks had won their championship in 70 and all three of the teams had won those titles, and, you know, everybody was, oh, my God, Joe Namath and Clyde Frazier and Tom Seaver and Willis Reed and, you know, Don Maynard and George Sauer and, you know, we go on and on. Cleon Jones and Tug McGraw and Jerry Kuzman. I mean, these guys were all like, you know, larger than life to me as a teenager. I mean, they were like, you know, above and beyond in a lot of ways, almost like, you know, gods in ways, if you know what I mean. And Ball 4, reading that book, really for the first time, I guess, in my young life at that point, really made me look at them as human beings. Made me look at sports figures as human beings, that they were human just like everybody else. That they had, you know, they had their flaws just like everybody else did. They had their things just like everybody else does. And I remember reading that, and, you know, just some of the names in the book, you know, there's a lot of things about Mickey Mantle in there, and obviously Mickey Mantle was beyond an icon, you know, at that point. I guess his career had just ended. 69 was his last year. And, you know, but just reading the stuff, and I couldn't put the book down. And, of course, it became very, very controversial, no doubt about it, because here it was, you know, pretty, you know, really exposing, you know, guys in the locker room, stuff that went on behind the scenes off the field that you never, ever thought were possible as a young kid for ball players. You just didn't even, because, like I said, you looked at them as almost superhuman at that point in time. Certainly I did, you know, like I said, as a young teenager. And, boy, reading that, and wow, are you kidding me? And wow, this guy did this, and this guy said that, and, you know, just different things. I think there was one thing, I believe there was a thing in the book about Billy Martin and Mickey Mantle, how they were, I don't know, something that they were doing. They were outside on something to do with women or whatever it was, and Martin and Mickey are out on the ledge in some hotel room trying to crawl out of a hotel room by walking from, you know, one window to the other. I mean, just crazy stuff. And there was other stuff in there, you know, we won't get into that were just, you know, really off the chart stuff that you just did not believe as a young kid that, you know, great athletes, these guys that you put up on a pedestal, you looked at as role models, were possibly capable of. So I think that's the first time in my life that I actually started to look at ball players as human beings. And it was Jim Boughton's book that really brought that to life. And, you know, he was, you know, for years was never invited back to Yankee Stadium for all the old-timers games they finally had. He was never invited back specifically for that. You know, because a lot of guys that he named in the book and talked about in the book were guys who were at the old-timers games. and they didn't want any issues with them in Boughton, specifically Mantle, who, of course, was the guy at all these old-timers games back then. Him and Joe D, who was also prominent at the old-timers games back at that period of time. But just, you know, crazy stuff. And, you know, Boughton talked about how, what is this, later on in his life, I guess he was actually called on the carpet by the commissioner who wanted him to sign, I guess it was Bowie Kuhn, who wanted him to sign this thing that a lot of this stuff in the book really wasn't true and all this kind of thing. And it was almost like he was blackballed, you know, from baseball for a while. And then finally the Yankees, I think his daughter passed away young, very tragically. And he, his son, I believe it was the one who wrote to the Yankees, please have my father back for old timers day. And I think it was 1998. They finally brought him back, as Dove's giving me the thumbs up there. They finally brought him back for old timers day. But, and I remember Boughton pitched. He pitched like in semi-pro leagues, you know, and he was around my area in Bergen County. I think he pitched in Paramus a little bit. In some, like I said, somebody as a pro ball player after his career was over. But just fascinating, if you get a chance, and it's still out there, If you get a chance and you have not read Ball 4, it's a book you really need to read. If you're a sports fan, you're a baseball fan, you need to read it. Because, like I said, it really, really – and look, now everybody's human now. I mean, we, you know, now as we've gone on all these years, you know, so many things have gone down with so many different athletes, so many different people that we find out, you know, the flaws that everybody has. You know, a lot of it's common knowledge, obviously, now, you know, especially with social media and all the different things that are going on now, which you obviously didn't have back then. But if you get a chance to read Ball 4, read it, because it's a fascinating book. And Jim Bouton, the author, and he was a really good pitcher. You know, like I said, I mean, he was the Bulldog. I guess his nickname, they called him the Bulldog, number 56. I believe he was number 56 for the Yankees. And the one thing that Bouton would always do, hard-throwing right-hander, the one thing he would always do, you know, when he would pitch, he'd almost always his cap would come off because he had such a, you know, a violent, if you will, delivery. And his cap would always come off. It was almost kind of like a trademark for Jim Bouton. But he had some tremendous years for the Yankees on some, you know, great Yankee teams. And he passed away at the age of 80. But he'll always be remembered for Ball 4. So if you get a chance to read this book and you have not read it, you really need to. It's a great read. It goes very, very fast. I'm sure it's, you know, obviously a paperback online and, you know, all over, wherever, however you can read now in the modern world. But you get a chance, check it out. And really a special guy. And, you know, maybe for some of the wrong reasons, but a guy you will always remember, you know, no doubt about it. Not necessarily for what he did on the field, although, as I said, he had some tremendous years for the Yankees, for those tremendous Yankee teams, but also for a book that really kind of humanized, you know, the sports world for the first time, certainly for the first time for me when I was a 16 or 17-year-old kid. Jim Bouton, dead at the age of 80.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.